On this episode of Life Below Zero, Andy's springtime plans come crashing down.
Oh. Hey, man!
An elusive creature puts the hailstones on high alert.
Look right in front of you!
Glenn's quest for fire gets choked. And Sue's dream for Kavik is buried under ice.
I cannot replace that part.
The hardware store is a hell of a long ways away.
One, two, three, go!
We're down here in Kotzebue. It looks like it's going to be a good day for ogre hunting.
One, two, three, go!
One, two, three, go!
Today we'll be going out with my cousin Victor's boat, and he'll be driving us out there.
Ready?
This time of year, the hailstones turn their attention to hunting bearded seals, or ugruk, Alaska's largest species of ice seal, and an essential resource for the family.
Yay, jump in, John, jump in!
I know she really wants to be out here with us, but she really can't because only the native people can do this hunt. So I've chosen my son, John, and my oldest daughter, Tingmak, and they'll be joining. Hopefully there'll be a ugruk out there, if we're lucky.
Son, get the other one!
Seal hunting is an Inupiat tradition that has lasted for thousands of years. But in order to regulate seal populations, hunting laws prohibit non-natives from taking part in the harvest.
Okay, put that box of shotgun shells in, it's gonna get splashed. Put that thermos bottle down and make sure your strings are pulled in, son, for the anchor. And put your life jacket on.
Catching a seal will provide the hailstones with meat and oil that will help them survive the extreme cold of winter.
We render down the blubber. We use it as our oil when we dip our frozen foods or our dried foods in, and that's usually a real delicacy, and it gives us energy. So pretty much everything goes with seal oil up here.
Right there. We got it.
Got it, spirit right there.
Gotta be straight down.
Oh, I missed it. Look, I see its blood.
Yeah, turn around, turn around.
It's right there.
Mom. Right there,
right
there.
It's still bubbling. Next time, throw it, son, so it stick. Right there, it's blood. On that side. It already sink? Right around there, yeah.
Damn, I can't believe this will never go through. I hit it perfect.
You never let go of your harpoon, that's why.
Once a seal is shot or punctured, it must be pulled to the boat quickly, or it will sink to the bottom. John's failure to harpoon this one is a costly mistake.
Sink, huh?
Yeah. Straight down.
Ay, 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 ay.
That was a seal, though.
It is quite a bit challenging with all the ice gone. Usually you get for sure shots where just a whole bunch of ugruk are sleeping or relaxing in the sun. With all the ice gone, now we have to just chase out some seals and hopefully shoot them, harpoon them, and get them into the boat without sinking them. We've done it before. We could do it again.
So I'm fighting for my way of life, and I have every reason to believe I'll succeed, but I might not. I mean, it's a roll of the dice. You ready to get out there?
For Sue Akins, the spring season means that Kavik River Camp will soon be open to house scientists, pilots, and travelers passing through the tundra. But a lack of running water could shut her down before camp even opens.
It's around the end of May, and I haven't had running water since the beginning of late September, early October. People come here, stay with me to check out the tundra. Part of the services is having running water. Water to do dishes, laundry, water to clean yourself.
Now you're just going to straighten this line out?
Yeah, then we'll pull it back that way once we get it straightened out.
I have to have this filter so I can filter and run that water today, because that river could flood as early as tomorrow. When that happens, the water's silty and I can't put it through my filter. If I wait till it's silty, I can have all the water in the world running down the river, but it's useless to me and my guests. So I've got to get it now while it's clean and healthy. Then I can get it in, filter it, treat it. I need to clear all this snow so I can run a line from the river back to my camp.
With approximately 10 acres of land and a mile of water line still buried under 5 feet of snow, an essential piece of the puzzle has yet to be found.
My filter piece, it is somewhere under the ice. Me. That part is essential. Without it, I cannot hook up to the pump. The importance of that piece, it's the first piece that goes into the water and sucks the water into the pump. The pump pushes it through the line, and voila, I have water in camp.
And
I cannot replace that part.
Because the hardware store is a hell of a long ways away. The piece I need, the coupler, is on the end of a long length. I am going to guess that somewhere out here. Otherwise, I just got 10 million acres to choose from.
I expect and I hope to die out here. That's my plan, just not anytime soon. Firewood is important out here. I spend a lot of time cutting wood all through the year. It's one of the bigger jobs I have to do. And I don't have any other source of heat other than a wood fire. I use it for heating hot water. And I have a fire going 24 hours a day through the winter. In the spring and in the summer, I still use a fire. I couldn't live out here without a fire.
A wilderness purist, Glenn forgoes the use of power tools. He sets out equipped only with an axe and his rifle for protection from bears and wolves that lurk in the forest.
This looks like a good area to cut some trees. There are enough dead trees in close proximity that I can build a pile right here. This forest is all white spruce through here, and I only cut dead ones for firewood. And I've depleted all the dead trees within 300 or 400 yards of my camp, so I have to come quite a ways now to get wood. This looks like a good one to start on right here. I spend a lot of time cutting firewood. It's a big part of my life out here. This is the only way I have to heat, and it's the only way I have to cook. It's the only way I have to get hot water. The Arctic is an environment where people could never live without fire. That's why if I have a problem and can't cut firewood, it can become a real issue. Cutting trees with an axe is quite a bit of work, but I like that it keeps me in shape.
There.
A lot of people don't realize how much you can get done with a simple hand tool because they grew up in a world that was all mechanized and they never learned how to use tools like this or how to work like this. One hazard of cutting trees with an axe is cutting yourself with the axe. And that's why I like to have a good clear area around where I'm working. In the winter time when it's cold, I go through about a quart of wood every month. And in the summer, I still need quite a lot of wood just for cooking and heating water. Oh, I broke my axe. Damn, I just cracked my axe handle. Split right down lengthwise. I'm gonna have to put a new handle on that. And that'll take a little while. It takes some work, but that's the kind of thing you deal with all the time out here. When things go wrong, you just fix them up and start working again.
We do have time limits on certain aspects of our lives, and we want to maximize that while we can and then set ourselves up to be in a different frame of mind when we get a little bit older.
You know, living out here, it's all about planning for the future and planning for the winter. Summer is nothing but preparing for winter. My goal in the next day here is to mill enough lumber up to build a greenhouse.
So let's just see where 20 feet from here is towards the house.
I'm going to build it about 20 feet wide by 38 feet long. Then I'll be stretching a reinforced plastic over that. Basically, 80% of our yearly food comes from our garden, so it's pretty essential for me to get this greenhouse built in the next day or two. I'm a week and a half to 2 weeks behind right now, and that's not making me feel real happy. Our season is very short, so if I don't get these plants in the ground in the next couple of days, it's really going to affect our harvest at the end of the year.
Okay, let's just see if we're somewhat square here.
We're noticing the climate change is making colder, wetter midsummers for us, which really cuts in on our growing season. So this greenhouse is our response to climate change in this area by producing more food in a controlled environment.
Damn.
First try. I wonder how I did that. We're getting close to the point of actually standing up and framing the greenhouse. We're going to stand up the centerpiece first and brace it, and then we'll stand up the other wall. I've got all my pieces cut. We'll find out if I measured right in a little while. Here comes the rain. Right now, the race against time is to try and get as much done before the storm kicks us inside, and I'm hoping we can get about another half an hour's worth of work in before we're chased inside.
Andy has got the work ethic of an ant. He never stops. He never gives up. He can work and work and work and work and work until he just collapses. I admire that.
Okay.
So I just drop it, right?
Andy and Kate are attempting to stand up their new greenhouse before a summer storm hits.
Something's just really up here. Where's that long tape measure? Let's cross-chain this stupid thing here. See what the f*** going on. In that corner.
One small error in measuring the foundation could cost them a day's work.
I mean, I look down at these strings and they just don't look like they're running square. You know, according to this level here, it's showing it's out like 8 inches. At least. Right here, on this peg here. Outside, we're measuring the outside corners on all of these. This one's 2 inches short. It's a foot. That's what it is. All right, I'm done for the night. This. I'm fed up with it.
I'm a little less dependent on culture than your average person today, and I'm a little more connected to nature. I was out cutting wood tonight, and I broke my axe handle. You just have to know how to fix it, and you have to have a few tools, and you have to have a new handle, which I've got. I'm just gonna saw it off. Now I have to put a new handle on this head. I enjoy maintaining my own tools out here. It's nice to feel independent. when you're using a tool that you put together yourself, you know, you have a different relationship to it. You feel more connected to it than one that you bought that was already assembled. The nearest place where I can get any supplies is down in Fairbanks, a couple hundred miles south of here. So I have to plan carefully and make sure when I go to Fairbanks, I get everything I need, because I sometimes stay out here for very long periods of time. I often ask people, what's the longest you've ever been without seeing anybody? And a lot of people tell me about 24 hours, which I find interesting. This winter, I went 4.5 months without seeing anybody. But there aren't a whole lot of people that want to live the way I want to live out here. I'm not antisocial. I'm just anti-cultural. I don't care for the way of life down in modern society, so I choose to live out here. Okay, my axe is all ready to go. That's my favorite axe, and I got it all tuned up just the way I like it. I'm gonna go back out and chop some more wood.
The fact is that we are always looking for fresher foods, and this is the beginning of all the seal hunting. The summer is when we come up with huge surpluses of food to carry us through winter.
Keep your eyes open. Oh, look, right there, the ogre. Don can't shoot forward.
Oh, my God. Chill. Pretty smart. They help each other out. Every time we catch on to one, a couple more pop out nearby and get us a little confused.
Seal oil and meat are essential for the hailstones to survive the extreme cold winter. An adult ugruk can dive up to 300 feet and hold its breath for minutes at a time, making them difficult to catch.
John, wait in front of you. You see it?
Come on, pop up.
Oh, John!
There you go, Ting, there you go,
Ting. Try to make it sure shot.
Here, reload, Mom. Man, we were almost on it for a while. I've been trying to get them to stay down to where they're panicking and have to get up and stay up, but they've been getting some good breaths and diving as far as they can, staying as long as they can down, and it's just been quite a chase. Quite a chase.
John, right there. John!
Here, Mom, trade now.
John, I hope you didn't sink it. Watch those bubbles. Right back up. It's this
right here.
Right
dive
here.
From right here. It's like a young ring seal.
Go ahead before it dives. Harpoon! Harpoon! Hold it, hold it. You got it, son. Right there, right there.
Whew, our group turned to a seal, all right?
A ring seal is much smaller than an ugruk, but it will still provide the hailstones with 5 gallons of oil that will last for months.
1, 2, 3, go!
Let's wrap it up and go get an ugruk.
I don't know how our ugruk turned to a seal, but that was pretty cool.
We started off chasing an ugruk. It was a pretty nice size one. We got it pretty up close to it, but it got a couple good deep breaths and swam as far as it can and gave us a slip, and we caught on to this one. It's a nice little ring seal, pretty good size in season. We're thankful for this.
5 more gallons of seal oil.
Yep.
For the last 10 years, I've been an employee of a company. Now, in order to keep my lifestyle, I purchased the place. And I have a vision for it. I'm the owner now. First year counts. If I don't do well this season, I may not be here next season. If I don't find this part, I mean, that means I can't get water to camp. If I can't get water to camp, guess what? My guests don't get water. That affects my whole business. If I don't have guests, I don't have revenue.
Wait a minute. That's a good sound. That's metal. Yes. Let's hope. Woo! There it is. Right there. Yes.
I'm not gonna go and dig out the rest of the line. I'm just gonna take the end off and put it on the new hose.
I start this up close to the river. This attaches to the pump and gets pushed out up the line to camp.
Go.
Push.
If you wanna get the pump going, I'll go up here to the tank. Let me know when you say it's coming up the line.
All right.
And then I'll let you know when it arrives. If it doesn't, then we've got a break somewhere in the line.
Okay.
So, all right, buddy.
All right, I'm set.
Hey, Rick, you got a copy?
Yes, I do.
Start up now.
What we're looking for is the sound of water coming through here. Come on. Mama wants a shower. Come on, bitch. Oh, there's a noise. Bitch. Oh, there's a noise. No.
Got it?
No, I can hear it trying though.
On its way.
And there you go. That's the first water in Kavik in 9 months.
I got it, buddy.
You good then?
I'm always good. Sometimes I'm even better.
When people come here and they may buy a meal or a shower, I have to guarantee that they have nice, clean, melted snow, glacier water. What this means to me is first hot shower in 9 months. First load of laundry in 9 months. Look at that. Oh, my hair is even smiling. Yay! It's a big deal.
I value independence, obviously, and I might be more concerned with it than most people are, because I really like to do things on my own.
Living in the isolated wilderness, firewood is Glenn's only source of heat and fuel. Without it, he wouldn't survive.
I remember when I first came out here 9 years ago, I had a watch, and it broke. And I thought, damn, my watch broke. That's going to be a problem. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I said to myself, I'm so glad that watch broke. And I never used a watch again. I think about time very differently out here than people think about it down in civilization, you know. It's the sun just goes around in a circle in the summer. The moon goes around in a circle in the winter. Those are the timekeepers out here. The change of the seasons, that's my calendar. The summer out here, it's just like when I was a kid, you know, when you're little. And summer just stretches on for a long time. That's the way it is out here. It's a whole different sensation that goes on in your head, whole different experience of time. That's the wood I'm gonna use for heating my camp, cooking my food, heating my water to take a bath and do my laundry. That's my fuel out here. Out here, you do what nature requires. Nobody tells you. You gotta get up and go to work today so that you can pay your heating bill. Out here, you realize you need wood because it's getting cold and you haven't got enough to keep the fire going. That's what motivates you out here, is what actually has to be done for you, not what somebody else needs you to do for them. Living out here keeps you in shape, and I enjoy that. I've had a lot of people tell me that they would love to live out here, but I don't think many of them would stay long if they really did it. Physically, living out here is damn hard work, but psychologically, it's a hell of a lot better than the way people have to live down in civilization today.
We don't have to chase the almighty dollar living out here. That's not our focus in life at all. Our focus is to have a really high quality of life and live the way we want to live. Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I think everything's going to start coming together now. Got a good night's sleep. Reset my foundation this morning. I think we're gonna start cranking on it now. After we get this secured, the next step is gonna be to get the sidewalls framed up and cut the rafters in. That's really gonna tie everything together. There's really no hard part. It's just all in the hoping that nothing slips and moves on you.
He just had some time to think about it, change a few things. If you took a tour of our property and you could see all the buildings and all the structures that have gone up, from dishes to windmills to showers, I don't think one has gone completely smooth.
This is the main hard part to get done. Kate doesn't have the strength to lift up these heavy beams, but we were able to get it started with the bulldozer and then use leverage to push it up a little bit at a time. I'm rocking now. Or I should say, we're rocking now.
What?
This right here. Just pull it tight like that. Oh, hey, man.